Hallelujah. Well, so 2 weeks ago, I began talking about weddings. Well, it was June, right? Let's talk about weddings. That's when we usually do a lot of people get married. And I want to reiterate a couple things. First off, the reason I feel it's important to start talking about some of this stuff is because of what Jesus was alluding to in many parables, many things he said and many things he did. And kind of shows his plan for us. Reiterate this right here. All wedding traditions are different by sects, by tribe, by family. Okay? My family didn't celebrate the same way her family did. My family had a tendency to go to the justice of the peace and get it done there. And so, you know, the whole, for me, asking the father for the bride's hand was, I have to do that. It worked out good that I did. But we're talking about traditions that are knocking on 2,000 years ago. You're not going to find everything. And also, most of what Jesus is talking about is from the perspective of a king, not middle class. Y'all know that there's huge differences in weddings. You know, not that I really care, but Kelsey and Taylor, I can only imagine what their wedding cost. $3 million. Adam Sandler officiated it. I mean, obviously they didn't want God involved. Yes, I just said that. Because he's a Jew in name only. He doesn't practice his faith. Because if he did, he'd realize, I'm wrong. But hey, we'll pray for him because he can be a funny guy. But everything varies. And most of the time, you have to pay attention to the fact that it did say a king. So I've never personally been to a wedding as a guest that big. I was there as an employee, a one that was what I'd call close. I mean, there were limos. There was a country club on the Atlantic Ocean. And there was shrimp the size of my hand. It was just beautiful. And that wasn't the only one I ever went to that was like that as the photographer. Different things happened at every one of them. I got kissed by the bride. That was a little awkward. Another one, the groom's mother was hitting on me. Her name was Francie. And just like, you always remember it? I mean, how many Francies do you know? One. And she was hitting on me. I'm like, can I introduce you to my wife? And yes, women, she saw it. She's like, I'm not biting. I'm just taking pictures. And so, you know, different things happen, but at all of them, some of them, the bride was so drunk, she barely could stand up. That's really what you got to do to marry the guy? Why are you getting married? By the way, that's the one that kissed me. So it's a little, but yeah, so things vary. I've been at family weddings where they were in the living room of a really hot, stinky house, and the bride wore white jeans, and we were all standing around sweating in the same room. And I've been in them where they're great big cathedrals and horses and things of that nature. So traditions vary, okay? But Jesus was saying certain things. So we talked about the betrothal. We're up to the betrothal where the father and the son go to the father of the bride. They agree upon the price, and the price is paid. Now, at this point, the groom goes back. He goes away to prepare a place. What was it Jesus said? I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house, there are many mansions, many, many rooms, but they're not yours. That's not your place. This is your place. I'm going to go make it ready. I believe John saw in the vision in Revelation, he saw that place. He called it the New Jerusalem. And how big, what was the scale from where to where? Like New York to Miami. If it were to sit down on the United States, it would go from like New York City to Miami squared. And up. Think about that for a minute. It's huge. And he said, and I saw it coming down. He said, that's the bride. That's the place he's going to prepare for us. And it's made with emeralds and rubies and sapphires and diamonds and pearls and gold. He's doing some intricate work in this thing, man. He's putting value to where he wants us because the value he paid for us. So he goes and prepares his place, but he does not leave us alone. Jesus said, I will send the helper. Well, see, here's the thing. Again, wealthy wedding. Jesus wasn't in poverty minded at all. He may not have been walking around 2 cents in his pocket, but he was never broke. Understand that. There's a huge difference. We need tax money. Oh, there it is in the fish's mouth. We need food. Oh, here's a little piece of bread. Where'd all this bread come from? He was never in poverty. They would leave the friend of the groom. This was a close friend, a friend he could trust. That's what I always describe my friends. I said, I've got acquaintances out the wazoo, but I've only got a handful of friends. And somebody said, well, how do you differentiate? I said, acquaintances are just people that I kind of know, but the friends are the ones I can trust to be with my wife, and they won't hit on her. Because if that my friend hits on her, I'm going to hit on him. That's just all there is to it. And men, you better be that protective about your wife, your bride. And you ladies who have not had that, nor do you currently have it, I am praying for you. Because you deserve that. It's not a male-female thing. It's the way God made man. That's my wife. Do you understand you're the glory of your husband? That's why he wants you to look good. He doesn't care what he looks like. He wants you to look good because you're his glory. You know, we got all these show ponies running around here for men, you know, making sure their hair's all perfect and stuff. What difference does it matter? There's my glory. That's my glory. No, you're not gross. Knock it off.
I said, don't look too close.
Oh, don't look too close. I thought you said I look gross. I was like, you are not. Okay, I'm going to say the blessing now, and I'm going to say. He said, I'm going to leave you someone. It's going to be your helper, your comforter. He left us the Holy Spirit. See, the purpose of the friend of the bride, or the groom, because they use bridegroom a lot, not really. I'm like, hold on. My little simple high school graduation brain is struggling. The friend of the groom would prepare the bride. See, the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to convict the world of sin. We're still in the world. We're not of it, but we're still here. Could we sin? Absolutely. Disobeying God, period, is sin. If God told you to pick up that remote and you said no, that's sin. So, let's not get on our high horses about, well, I got no sin in my life. Okay, Norman Greenbaum, y'all know who I'm talking about. Spirit in the sky. I'm not a sinner. I've never sinned. Oh, he got lots of trouble for that from churches. Don't take me up to the, because I got a friend in Jesus. You're only a friend of Jesus if you do what he says. There's stipulations for all promises, but anyhow, I'm on a rabbit trail. So the Holy Spirit is here helping us. See, the bride at this point, from the betrothal to the actual consummation of the marriage, is 6 to 12 months. So all these people running around here with 8-10 year engagements are full of crap. They ain't committed to nothing. You get engaged, I expect to hear you got a date coming up soon. That's what I expect to hear, but everybody uses, well, we're going to live together and see if it works. Where's the commitment? I'm glad the Marine Corps didn't do that. I'd have been gone day one. Wait a minute, he's ugly without hair. Forget this, it ain't working out no more. I want a divorce from the Corps. They said, son, you belong to us for 4 years. Yeah. Technically 8, so suck it up. By the way, I did, and I loved it, and I hated it. It was a love-hate relationship. But the Holy Spirit is here doing what the bride was doing, working on her precious dress, her gown. We all think, well, I got saved instantly. I'm purified. I'm cleansed. Paul even told the church, iron out the wrinkles. Get rid of these things. They're blemishes. But yeah, we sit here and think, I think it was Maggie put this up here the other day, and I love that, Maggie. Why are we still trying to cast out demons on things that Christ told, we're told to crucify? Right. It's not a demon, it's your flesh. Amen. Well, I got a demon of overeating. No, tell your stomach, you got to dial it back. I haven't eaten yet, and I'm trying to tell my stomach to shut up. But anybody that's ever tried to lose a little bit of weight knows your belly gets to talking to you. Ooh, I got 2 chocolate chip cookies left at home. Do you know how hard it was not to eat them last night? Like, ooh, I want them. I really, really want them. I'm glad Jesse didn't find them because he had ate them all. I think he ate 6 that were on the counter. I'm like, those are my cookies over there. But anyhow, the Holy Spirit is here. All right, Art, Matt, Harold, you need to work on this. Matt, there's probably only one person in this room who knows you better than you, right? She's sitting right next to you. The same thing with most of us. You know exactly where we fall. And ladies, it goes the exact same way. Just get that out there. But you know what? We walk in love. We walk in forgiveness. I think Angela was telling somebody that the other day about the perfect marriage is actually 2 people that know how to forgive. That's a good marriage. Because you're going to tick each other off all the time. You know, often. Not all the time, but often. I know. Remember, I'm not at fault. And so the Holy Spirit is here working on us, helping us to get our dress ready. You know, the night before any inspection, I refused to ever stand an inspection in my dress blues. We could do it, and I had them. But you need to understand something. As a Marine, when you go out in your dress blues and you're going to be inspected, there ain't nobody looking at anybody else. That uniform is the Holy Grail. And they are going to crawl all over you looking for something. So I always just stood in my greens. And I'm going to tell you right now, we would turn the cuffs inside out, the sleeves inside out. I had to have chevrons replaced because ours were not hemmed, and they just kept fraying, and they keep fraying off until they're at the threads that hold it to the uniform. We trim every little pennant off of there. And I don't care how hard I worked. I had a staff sergeant in inspection. I was never getting a perfect score with him. He turned my cover in, flipped that thing inside out. See that? There wasn't nothing there. But I knew better than to argue with the man. Yes, staff sergeant, Irish pennant. Wasn't nothing there. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be turning our lives inside out, looking. Us. My job is not to constantly be policing her. Maybe God will tell her something about me and me something about her. But it's me who's supposed to be examining me. If I'm going to judge Matt, I got to judge Matt the exact same way I'm judging myself. But that's not how the church works most of the time. We look at other people, well, this was my intent. Well, Matt said, well, that was my intent. Well, no, but it was you. You did it, not me. We don't judge other people correctly. That's what Jesus warned us of, because by the same measure you're judging them is how you're going to be judged. So anyhow, it's not about judgment. So, rabbit trail two. Four, is that where we're at? So Jesus is back there preparing a place for us, because that's what the son would have been. The bridegroom would have been back building a home, a place for his bride. She didn't get to go see him, and he didn't get to go see her. It's kind of like our engagement for a while. We just get to talk on the phone. But in this time, see, the friend of the bridegroom could travel back and forth and bring messages. Did Jesus talk to you? You know how he talked to you? It's through the Holy Spirit. It's through his word. So there's the friend, the spiritual friend that we need. John 3:29, John the Baptist is actually called the friend of the groom because he rejoiced when he heard Jesus preaching. He heard him coming. So now we're saying, well, my dress is ready, Lord, I'm ready, right? Why aren't you coming? I'm ready. You need to understand something. Even in the traditions, it wasn't the groom who decided when to go. It was the groom's father. That's why Jesus said, only the Father knows. That's why it's ludicrous for us to keep trying to figure out the day and the hour. I will share some things here in a minute. But the Father was judging the Son as a groom, watching. How'd you build your house? Are you ready for the responsibilities of being a husband? In Ephesians, and it's part of what I charge a new couple with, is husbands, love your wife as Jesus so loved the church. And he gave his body for it. He died to his own will. He died to himself. So gentlemen, first off, if your friends are outranking your wife, get your life in order. Your wife, right here, man. Here's God. Here's your wife. Here's your children. Because guess what happens? These guys, and guess who's left? Your wife. And I can't tell you how many people I know sit there and they stare at each other. When Justin moved out, we realized it had been 31 years since we had been together by ourselves in our own home. We're like, what do we do? We've always had noise. It's too quiet upstairs. I didn't miss the drums. I will not lie about that. I'm tired of furniture falling off, things falling off the shelves. We had to make some adjustments. It's like, hey, wait a minute. We got nothing holding us. And unlike when we first got married, we got extra money. We can go do some things. So Christ died for the church, so he's accepted as far as that. But he's preparing that place. And when that place is ready is when Jesus will get the notification. All right, son, go get her. Go get your bride. I'll tell you right now, I've got a feeling that's got to be the fastest getting dressed you ever want to see a man do, except for in boot camp. Because he's going to come down. They put on a big, nice, beautiful robe on him with jewels in it. They put a crown on him, and he's coming down. And then before him, the friend of the bridegroom starts shouting, "Make way, for the bridegroom cometh." Now we come forward. He's going into the hometown of his suite. The 10 virgins, they're waiting. These were 10 virgins of that town. They were usually friends of the bride. Now, I'm going to pause right here on this because I have been praying about it, been trying to read about it, because I'm like, God, I've always been told that's the church. But if this is the case, then who on earth is the bride? Well, God helped me through it the other day. He said, it's just a parable, Art. Quit reading more into it than what's in there. I'm trying to tell you, there are going to be people that are claimed to be mine, and they ain't ready because they're dinking around doing other things that I didn't tell them to do. And then when the end's going to come, they're not going to be ready to go. So these are not this, it's, they do not really represent the bride in this scenario. They represent the bride in get ready, because he's coming on a day and an hour you don't know. Because it was traditional for the bridegroom to come in at midnight. I have no idea why, but he would come in at midnight. That's why they had the lanterns. That's why the smart ones had extra oil. They were ready. They were in for the long haul. The others, they were dinking around, doing whatever we want. And they would hear the sound. They'd hear the friend of the bridegroom. Make way, for the bride, for the groom cometh. And they would go down through there, and then they'd turn around, and they'd start rejoicing. They'd start dancing for joy. The people in the town would dance for joy. And then some various traditions I read about, some of them, he would stop shy of the town. Others, he would come up into the town. But several of them carried this one thing. It's called a pyrion. I'm probably saying it wrong. It's a fancy couch carried on the shoulders. Y'all remember Bugs Bunny and the one where the ravishing Rondo and all that? The guy comes out there and he's the little Greek guy. And he's on the shoulders. That's what it is. Your chariot awaits. And the bridegroom is waiting. They put the bride up on this. It's actually more of a couch. I'm like, dude, that's awesome. And she's carried away to the father's house. And from the father's house, they go to the house that the bridegroom has prepared. Now, here's where we get into there's some things that are just kind of weird. I mean, I'm not going to lie, if you've never been out of the United States, things just really smack you upside the head. Because our culture is very, we know all this, we got all this. Oh, there's a lot more, there's stuff you don't even want to know that goes on outside our borders. I remember seeing a National Geographic in Africa, where a couple just got married, and they're doing the Watusi in front of everybody. The entire village is standing around watching it. And in this case, the brother was poking the groom with a stick. I'm not for certain what that was about, but there's a little brother going to end up with a stick wrapped around his head. That's perversion. But what happens in this case is they come up to the hoopah. Remember, we talked about that last week. It's a squared, usually silk cotton, wool, something like that. And usually the bigger it was, the more wealthy you were. Held up by four posts or by friends. And one of the traditions I read about is the bridegroom would be up there, his bride would come up. He would take his. Now, many times there are blessings pronounced. Okay, I've read in some of the Talmud and some of the rabbis' teachings that there's blessings they would pronounce over the couple. And I thought, man, that is a good blessing. One I read about, he blessed her. He blessed her brothers. He blessed her parents because he was the father. It was the father of the groom who was doing the ceremony. And he blessed the entire other side of the family. But so now the bridegroom reaches down, takes part the corner of his robe. She's covered in a veil. You can't see her. And he covers her. And they go in to the room where they consummate. And the thing said 10, 15 minutes later, he would hold out the bellum, I think I said it right. It was a cloth in which they had consummated on that would hold the blood. And he would hold it out the window. You know what? You want to know what he said? It is done. What were the last words of Christ on the cross? It is finished. It's finished. See, because we know we're not virgins, aren't we? In Old Testament terms, we're whores. We've played the whore and the harlot. But through Christ, we're renewed. His blood is that blood. And on that cross, he said, "It is finished." And he died. After this is done, the couple comes out. Day one of feasting starts. The bride and the bridegroom, they sit on a throne, and the people eat, they dance, they play music for 7 days usually. 7 days. It's interesting. And in many times, it was done after harvest, so it was done in the fall. The reason being is lots of food. And anybody who's ever been in an agricultural society knows you can't do nothing until the harvest is in. Oh, we're going to a ball game. Not me. I'm going to the combine. See ya. And so they had to get the harvest in because the entire community relied upon it. Now, having said all that, one, I've heard many Bible teachers say that it does appear to be a fall with the feasts. And I've preached it for years and said, I really don't care when Christ returns. Having studied this out, I will err on the side of pre-trib. 7 years, 7 days of partying. Christ takes his church, his bride, does this. And I'll tell you, this isn't the only reason why. They're brought together as one. The tightness and the bond that you feel with your spouse is what you'll feel with God himself. I watch my wife all the time. She'll be walking through the house and she just stops, rolls her eyes and walks on. Yeah, I'm watching. There's days, you know, I think about it. It's like, I don't want to ever wake up without her. That's the bond. I wake up knowing God's never left me. And we can get close. We can get to there. But I think there's something special when we're right there. So, But you see, here's part of the reason why I started rethinking some of my things and based on prophecies and visions and such is for 1 year, the groom is exempt from military service. We got 7-day window in which partying, feasting. 1 year, he's got of no military service, because we know what happened afterwards in Revelation, right? The king, I saw the Jesus coming in on a white horse, and King of Kings was on his thigh. And he came riding out of heaven on a white horse to rule. See, he's coming down now to rule. Even the Jews believe, even the prophetic type Jews who are following things believe that in the year 6000, according to the Jewish calendar, is when the Messiah will show up. I believe we're at 5986. That's 14 years. I'm not saying Jesus is coming back in 14 years. I'm saying, I don't know anything, but I'm just saying, that's cool. I can't say coincidence, because even the Jews don't believe there's any coincidences. I'm telling you, time is getting short. I'm telling you, get your lives in line. I'm telling you, pray for people. I'm telling you, the devil is going to start rising up to try to split your families. Fight. Fight like no other. Fight like it's rain. Fight like it's raining and you're the third monkey going on the ark. Fight. Fight for your families. Pray for them. I've tried to tell you, you are not just a Christian. You are a believer with authority. And by the way, the betrothed part, there's a little bit of, nobody touched the woman, because they could both be put to death. And even when Joseph took Mary, go in and read it, he said, he took Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. They hadn't even had the hoopah and all this. That didn't happen until afterwards. We don't know when, and neither does it really matter. But the point being, she was betrothed. He loved her like she was his own flesh. Every last one of us in here, that's the way we should love our spouse. Like they are my own. I don't want to hurt them. But we do, don't we? And most of the time, it's not because we meant to. You know, I've got a fingernail growing out. 2 weeks ago, it went on the belt sander. And I was pushing down, sanding, and got locked in somehow. And I'm like, that's my finger. And I can see under my fingernail. In the middle of it, I'm like, oh, Lord. So for 2 weeks, I wore a fake fingernail. One of her thumbnails. That's what's like, wow. I did have to have the French tips cut off, but yes, I felt very manly. No. Felt very manly with my granddaughter sitting there filing it for me. I'm just grateful she didn't want to paint it. So you see, what Jesus was trying to teach us in various things was to let us know. And not everything is in an absolute order. He was laying out something for us to see so that we could read a map. That I fear that there's coming a day in society when people will not know how to read a map. I put it in my GPS. How many times have you put something in your GPS and it changes the way you're going to go while you're on your route? Wait a minute. Why am I going here? Oh, we found a way that's 5 minutes faster. I don't care. I wanted to go by here. Recomputing. How many people, because they just sit and listen to everybody else and they never get in the word and they never read, I get all these things coming, and I know you all do, from social media. Some of these guys are good, and some of them are whoo. People take a message and they twist it because they had just enough chocolate chip to the cookie. And then they feed you all that dog poo. Oh, but it's chocolate chip on the surface. Well, it looks good. Yeah, it's okay. It don't smell good. We are in those days in which people will be deceived because they choose to be. I like this. I don't like a lot of things. I would rather drink something with flavor than just plain water, but my body absorbs plain water better. So I have to drink a lot of water. Jesus is coming. Don't dawdle. Don't think around. The life you are responsible for is yours first. Yours first. Raise your children. Those of you still raising children, raise them in the admonition of the Lord. And they're going to get to a day where they have to make a decision. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's the most glorious and sometimes tough times. You got to let them go. That's my baby. I changed his diaper. What do you mean he's going to go off? He's going to go live. I'm scared for him. You know why I'm scared for him? Because I did that. I was stupid. I did things. But if you train them up right, the Bible says, train your children up in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart. Even God had a prodigal. So don't get too hard on yourself. Pray for them. They're going to make mistakes. You focus on getting your life squared away, and when you think you're perfect, step back and say, what am I thinking? I am no ways near perfect. Lord, I got up this morning grumbling and complaining. Instead, Lord, I thank you for another beautiful day. It's thunderstorming. So what? Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Some people only see dolphins as being cute. I tend to like the great whites, those angler fishes down on the bottom that have the little light bulb and the wormy thing. You know, the one on Nemo. I find that beautiful. Yeah, dolphins are cute. And unfortunately, we'll kill my great white, but spend your life living for Christ, working on your righteousness. The Bible says we all work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Don't think, well, I just stepped into it and I'm as good as I'm ever going to get. If that's it, if I'm as good as I'm ever going to get, somebody put me down. I got rabies or something. I want to be better. Don't you? I want to be better than I am right now. Not better than somebody else. I've always strived to try to be better. And that's what I've told my boys. Said, be better than me. But you better be better than you. You better keep striving forward. Don't get to say, well, I'm one step ahead of where Dad was. I can stop. You keep going. Mamas, same thing. All right, let's stand. Because I need some water. So we are going, Angela and I are going to go up tomorrow morning to Quincy for Bob's funeral. So we will not be back until Wednesday, because we're going to come back on Tuesday morning. So we're going to take it easy coming back. But again, please pray for them. We're still not sure on the details, but you know, I think we shared earlier, they lost a daughter 2 months ago. She was younger than us. So, and in the last year, one of the friends, his good friend and a guy that I was friends with, he had a heart attack on the way to church. His son noticed he was missing and went looking and found his car on the side of the road. So in a year, they've had 3 deaths. So pray for him. The devil's wanting to stop something that God has started, and he's coming after him. Because I don't know what happened, whether he fell, hit his head, or what. But, you know, I had a friend die of a brain bleed, too. So it can happen. But like I said, I know he got to heaven. And as Angela said, he probably heard, well done. Because I'll give you this. That man had a heart for Russian and Ukrainian people. And he prayed for them, and he preached to them, and he loved them. And he would probably have moved over there if God would have let him. So that's how much he loved them. Not everybody's got that love. So be praying for them, because they were friends of ours. All right, let's pray. Lord God, we thank you and we praise you as we step into the new day. Lord, we've worshiped you. You've graced us with your presence. The tangible presence, Lord God. We know you never leave us nor forsake us. And where 2 or 3 of us are, you're here. But Lord, we are truly grateful. And now, Father, I pray that as each and every one of us examines our own lives, Lord, we will spot the stains and the wrinkles. Lord, and we will work on those in our lives. My job as a pastor is to build up, edify, and strengthen the body. My job as a believer is to get myself in order and do the things you've called me to do. Lord, help each and every believer in here, Father. And those that think that it has to go deeper, Lord, you simplified it up. You said, whoever gives one of these a drink of water in my name will no wise be eliminated, or they will not lose their inheritance. Father, help us remember that even something as simple as a drink of water could change a life. And now, Father, I thank you for your people. Lord God, I bless them here today. Father, I know the many situations, things that are going on inside people's minds right now. Lord, help them to settle them into peace, to turn them over to you. And Lord God, I thank you that as we baptize people today, Father, those getting first time rededicating their walk with you, Lord God, that you will strengthen their resolve and you will strengthen their hands, you will strengthen their legs to continue to stand in Jesus' name. Amen.